Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, December 6th, 2019. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker for his usual Friday visit. J-Book, Big Ten Championship game tomorrow night, the rematch between Ohio State and Wisconsin. Just what are your thoughts when you look at this game tomorrow?
I mean, first off, I'm just happy that they're going to be playing indoors on the fast track. It seems like all year long, every big game that they had terrible weather, so the fact that Ohio State's really going to be able to showcase that speed in a dry environment, I'm really excited about that. But for me, I'm looking at this team, just get out of here healthy. That's my main thing, especially Justin Fields. I don't care if Ohio State wins by 1 point or 30 points. At this point, you're in the playoffs, barring some type of struggle or in LSU, you know, whooping Georgia by 50 points, you're most likely going to have the one seed, which I think is vital this year. So just get out of here with a win and get into these next several weeks of getting healthy into the actual playoff bowl practice.
Yeah, I was going to ask you later, but we'll just get into it now since you alluded to it. I think you kind of answered it. But do you think Ohio State needs style points tomorrow night, assuming LSU looks good against Georgia? Do you think Ohio State needs some style points tomorrow in order to hold on to that number one seed, or do you think they could win by 7 points is to hold on to that number one seed if LSU looks good?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to need the style points. I mean, it would be a situation if, let's say, Wisconsin was ranked 23rd or 24th or not ranked, but you're talking about the number 18 in the playoff committee's rankings here. If Ohio State can beat them back-to-back in this season, and then you look at what Ohio State has done as far as the total body of work this year, I don't think they actually need the style points. Now, and if you'd have told me a situation where Ohio State was coming in right after the Michigan game and just peaked at the number one spot, then I'd say, hey, maybe you have an argument. But the fact that the playoff committee had moved Ohio State into the one spot after the Penn State game tells me that they are really high on Ohio State. And the main thing that they've been consistently preaching about the Buckeyes this year is, one, body of work, and two, just the overall complete dominance of the Ohio State offense and the defense. And that's something that I still believe that Ohio State has a leg up on LSU, is the complete body of work from the offense and the defensive side of the football.
It does bode well for Ohio State, as you pointed out, that Wisconsin is eighth. I didn't expect them to be that high. I thought, you know, when I pre-wrote the story so we could, you know, get it live as soon as possible after the rankings came out, so I kind of guessed where the rankings were going to be. And I had Wisconsin 10th. I thought they'd be right around there. So I was pleasantly surprised to see them at eighth, and that's a good point. I mean, it does help Ohio State that the committee right now has Wisconsin at number eight. It will be interesting. Hopefully, we don't even need to worry about it. Hopefully, there will be some style points, and Ohio State just waxes Wisconsin and leaves no doubt. But we shall find out on Sunday when they have the selection show. For those who don't know, selection show Sunday, high noon Eastern, ESPN. And I think it also helps Ohio State. Obviously, they didn't just beat Michigan at Michigan. They crushed them 56-27. And, you know, that's a team the committee has in the top 15. J-Book, I haven't talked to you since that game. I mean, well, you and I were both confident going in, but I certainly wasn't that confident. How surprised were you that Ohio State was just able to blow them out of the water, if you were surprised at all?
I was fairly surprised about how well they played and just complete dominance. I mean, obviously the Michigan game, I go into that game no matter what the record is with a stomach full of butterflies, complete nervousness on my part. And if you watch that game, Ohio State, the offense, it was scoring essentially almost every drive. I think Ohio State only punted two or three times the entire game. Michigan was coming into this game fairly hot. They were playing their best football at the time, so I felt that that gave them a somewhat of a puncher's chance to make this kind of close. If you saw the Michigan passing attack and offense early on, they were really showing some things that kind of got Ohio State's defense out of sync, especially utilizing the tight ends and the quick passing game with Shea Patterson, because it helped neutralize Ohio State's defensive pass rush there. But overall, it was just a complete domination from the Buckeyes, and it was great to see, especially up there. I think if Justin Fields didn't get that knee rolled up on, Ohio State was well on their way of putting up 70 points on Michigan in the Big House. As the game kind of started getting out of hand, Ohio State, you know, really just started pounding the rock and just get out of there healthy. As you're up by three touchdowns, no need to put Justin Fields at risk. But I think if he wouldn't have got that knee rolled up on, Ryan Day was going for the body bag for Jim Harbaugh up there in Ann Arbor, putting up 70 in front of his home crowd.
The excuses up north are hilarious. I know we're having a lot of fun with it on Bucknuts, just people just, you know, the whining and the excuses. I know you're having fun with it on Twitter and on Bucknuts, of course. You know, Ohio State cheats. You know, the academics are holding Michigan back when everybody knows the general studies thing is, you know, that's where half of their team majors in, and even the guys that are really smart, like Jordan Lewis, are told, no, you can't do graphic design because your schedule won't allow it. Source on that, Jordan Lewis himself. There's just everything else, all these excuses about why, you know, Ohio State is so much ahead of Michigan. They can't blame the refs this time. I mean, when you get your ass blown out like they did, what have been your takeaways and maybe some of the funny stories you can share about some of the excuses you're hearing from that team up north?
Oh, it's hilarious, and it's just a testament to what that fan base is all about and what that program is all about. It's always someone else's fault. It's always Ohio State is doing this or Ohio State is doing that. I mean, you will have a couple logical and rationale Michigan fans who are saying enough is enough with the excuses. At this point, 5 years into the Jim Harbaugh era, the gap is widening even more than what it previously was. Like, they're not even getting close to Ohio State. They're not even making the games competitive. And the fact that the fan base have to justify using the excuses for academics or online classes or Ohio State is paying players according to them. I mean, it's just a bunch of nonsense. All it is a bunch of fluff to make their fan base feel a little bit better about the butt kicking that they're consistently getting from the Buckeyes. So to me, I find it laughable. They're just consistently embarrassing themselves. The meltdown from those guys have been epic this past week. I mean, if you go into any of their boards right now, it is still a complete meltdown. But once the summer comes around, they'll have their September Heisman hype again. They'll be thumping their chests. Only for once November comes around, they'll be back into their little sinkholes, making more excuses about how Ohio State is doing this or doing that, and they can't compete with the big boys. But that's a testament to their fan base. That's who they are. That's what they've been for the last 20 years. They always make excuses. They never want to look in the mirror for self-accountability, and it will continue to be that way until they actually realize that Jim Harbaugh is not who they thought he was going to be. Their program is nothing but smoke and mirrors. It's a bunch of fake hype created by the media, and the thing that really, you know, troubles me is the excuses that the national media is making for Jim Harbaugh. I mean, if this was Ohio State or anybody else, they would absolutely be eviscerating him. When you got media members like Mike Greenberg on ESPN going out and doing a written monologue on why we shouldn't be holding Jim Harbaugh accountable and the expectations are too high. I mean, the guy just got a 10% raise. He's going to be making almost $8 million next year coming up. And you want everybody to downplay the expectations? I mean, if that's the case, then go find you a MAC coach and pay him half of what you're paying Jim Harbaugh and probably get the same type of results.
I know, that's the funniest part. Like, they're, oh, we're not really, like, you know, we want to run a clean program, and we're not really, you know, trying to be a football factory, and, you know, like some of those other schools, except they're paying Jim Harbaugh the third most of any coach. The only coaches that are making more than Jim Harbaugh are Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney. So, I mean, he was making even more money than Urban Meyer when Urban Meyer retired. So, yeah, I mean, it's just contradiction after contradiction. It's like, if you're not trying to be one of the big boys, and we all know Jim Harbaugh was pushing the envelope as much as possible with recruiting, and good for him for trying. I'm not even slighting him for that. You know, it hasn't really worked, but because of him, they had to put in some regulations. Like, you can't have sleepovers with recruits. You can't have, you know, players that you can't hire the parents of players on your staff or the high school coaches of players on your staff that you're trying to recruit, things like that. But yeah, I mean, you can't say that, you know, oh yeah, we're not really trying to be a football factory when you're paying Jim Harbaugh like an exorbitant amount of money. Again, $7.5 million a year to be the head coach. It's crazy. I want to close the show, J-Book, talking about Jonathan Cooper. It's really interesting. The plan is he's going to redshirt. He played against Michigan. That surprised me. He had a sack. You know, and right now the plan is for him to redshirt. I asked Ryan Day earlier this week, well, what if you guys get in a situation where you're in a playoff semifinal or a national championship game and you're banged up at defensive end? Could the plan change at that point? You know, could you guys reassess and put Jonathan Cooper in there because you're trying to win a national championship? His answer was very interesting. He said even if Cooper wanted to do it, the coaches need to do the right thing and step in and make sure he has a full senior season in 2020. But what if Cooper really wants to? He's like, no, I this is what I want. What if we don't get back to the national championship game? Like, I want to play in this game or these games, if it's semifinals and the national championship game. Again, hopefully they're not banged up at D end, but just what do you make of the Jonathan Cooper situation?
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I think their plan is smart by setting him up to be able to come back next year. But if it's a situation, a hypothetical, as you mentioned, that the Ohio State is banged up, then they really, really need to evaluate here. That's going to have to be a long, tough conversation, not just with Jonathan Cooper, but with his family as well, because this is a situation where this kid can come back next year, work on his graduate degree, being paid for by Ohio State. So if you're telling me that this kid's going to, you know, forfeit that opportunity for one game, obviously the national championship is a once in a lifetime opportunity for a lot of these guys. So it's going to have to be a collective conversation amongst everybody there. But hopefully we're not in that situation. He'll be back. But the news yesterday that broke that really got me fired up was Justin Hillier also getting granted his 6 year and having him come back. He's played really good football this year, and hopefully he can remain healthy. Just having him and Cooper back with their veteran leadership on that defense after you're going to lose quite a bit of guys to the NFL can't be understated.
No doubt about it. I'm glad you brought up Justin Hillier. Sean Wade's another guy for next year. I hope he comes back. I don't know if he will. I kind of think he's probably going to go pro, and we'll find out later today if Sean Wade will be cleared for the game tomorrow night when they do the status report. I guess we won't know for sure. He could be a game-time decision like he was last week, but Jeffrey Okuda earlier this week said he expects Sean Wade will definitely play, but we'll find out. We'll have that posted on Bucknuts later today. Great stuff, as usual, from Jonah Booker. Really appreciate it, J-Book, and thanks to our listeners out there for tuning into the show. Hope everyone has a great day, and hope everyone enjoys the Big Ten title game tomorrow night. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
You ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.